Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, April 14th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the accused Brooklyn subway shooter faces terrorism charges in federal court today.
President Biden authorizes $800 million in new military aid for Ukraine.
And bank earnings roll in. Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, and Morgan Stanley all report this morning.
New York's surge in COVID cases are driven by a new subvariant. Plus, Texas Governor Greg Abbott defies pressure from those opposed to his new border policy. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. Vladimir Guerrero's three home runs lifted Toronto over the Yankees. The Mets and Rangers both won in Philadelphia.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are a little changed this morning heading into the holiday weekend. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are again little changed. Dow futures are up 31 now, and NASDAQ futures up 21. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury, little changed as well. Yield 2.69%. And the yield on the two-year is at 2.34%. Nathan.
Karen, we'll have more on markets in just a minute. But first, the suspected shooter in the Brooklyn subway is set to appear in court today. Bloomberg's Michael Barr joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The man accused of being the gunman who shot 10 people and wounded others in a Brooklyn subway station was arrested in Manhattan yesterday. Mayor Eric Adams.
My fellow New Yorkers, we got him. We got him.
Police responded to a tip that the 62-year-old was at a McDonald's in Manhattan's East Village. James allegedly fired a 9mm Glock handgun at least 33 times in the Manhattan-bound N train. James, with addresses in Philadelphia and the Milwaukee area, will make an initial court appearance on terrorism charges in federal court in Brooklyn. U.S. Attorney Breon Peace.
And if convicted, he will face a sentence of up to life imprisonment.
U.S. Attorney Peace says the government will prove that James traveled across state lines in order to commit the offense. In New York, Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen?
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. While the subway shooting has prompted questions on how Frank James might be prosecuted in this case, David Schwartz is a former Brooklyn prosecutor and partner at Gertzman Schwartz.
Bottom line is the charges will be the federal terrorism charge. There'll be attempted murder charges on the state level. There will be state charges, I believe, federal charges. The federal case will come first.
And former Brooklyn prosecutor David Schwartz spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, let's get to the latest on the war in Ukraine, Karen. Russia continues to reposition for new attacks in the east and south. The mayor of Mariupol says more than 20,000 people have been killed in the weeks-long siege of his city. And now President Biden has announced $800 million in new military aid for Ukraine. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The package includes artillery, ammunition, and White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki says helicopters.
It was unclear for a while from their side whether they wanted additional helicopters. We've provided them helicopters in the past, and today they made clear they wanted them in, so we said, great. There are helicopters in the package.
So the new shipment marks a shift toward more offensive weapons. Prior shipments had been defensive systems. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Well, turning to the markets now, bank earnings continue with Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo all reporting this morning. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Shanali Basak.
After J.P. Morgan reported earnings, it turns out that trading did not fall as much as expected. That should bode well for Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, which have a greater percentage of their earnings tied to trading businesses. The consumer is also in pretty strong shape, but there are some businesses that are not growing very quickly as rates start to rise. That will be of importance for Wells Fargo as it reports earnings today. And for Citigroup, there will be questions around the Russia exposure and whether the bank has to take losses tied to the country. I'm Shanali Basak for Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Shanali, thank you. And we get another snapshot this morning on the health of the U.S. economy with the March reading on retail sales. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
March was a month of skyrocketing gasoline prices, so dollars collected at service stations should lead the forecast gains. But that may mean less spent on other categories. A Chicago Fed index that tracks retail sales suggests factor out gasoline and autos, and March retail sales may have declined significantly. To get a clearer picture of American spending, we'll also have to factor out inflation, which is at its highest since 1981. Given the Fed is expected to raise interest rates aggressively to bring inflation down, some retail strength would reassure policymakers the economy isn't about to go into recession. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Well, please join Mike later this morning on Bloomberg Surveillance when he speaks live with New York Fed President John Williams. It's coming up at 8:45 a.m. Wall Street time on both Bloomberg Radio and television.
Well, of course, taming inflation is front and center for the Fed, Karen. And Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the central bank does have a tough balancing act ahead, but it can be done.
They will try to maintain strong labor markets while bringing inflation down. But it has been done in the past. It's not an impossible combination, but it will require skill and also good luck.
Janet Yellen says she'll convene a meeting of top international financial officials next week to address a global food security crisis stemming from record prices.
Well, overseas, Nathan, we get a policy decision from the European Central Bank this morning. Economists say the ECB will almost certainly stand pat. They'll likely prioritize the fight against inflation over risk to the economy caused by the war in Ukraine.
Meantime, Karen, inflation may soon have you paying higher prices at Amazon. Joining us here live to explain that is Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Amazon merchants were already grappling with cost-related fee hikes that took effect in January and averaged 5%. And now Bloomberg News has learned Amazon is adding a 5% fuel and inflation fee on merchants that use its shipping services. That's putting pressure on sellers to raise prices. It's scheduled to kick in on April 28th. Amazon joins a range of companies who've had to take action to offset rising costs. Airlines are raising ticket prices. Uber and Lyft added fuel surcharges. And FedEx and UPS have also raised their prices. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Got some showers in Central Park, 58 degrees. Let's get more on what we know about the Brooklyn subway suspect and more on what's happening in New York and around the world. Michael Barr back with us this morning. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. We're learning more about the suspected Brooklyn subway shooter who was arrested yesterday in Manhattan. An East Village hardware store manager says he helped make it happen. Francisco Puebla says he was working at a store when he looked up and saw the suspect, Frank James, walk right by.
He was like a normal person. He didn't resist anything. He just like staying calm, and then that's how they get him.
Puebla notified police who were down the block, and minutes later, the suspect was in custody. NYPD Chief of Detectives James Essex says James has a record.
His arrest history in New York is 9 prior arrests, dating from 1992 to 1998.
Chief Essex also says James was arrested several times in New Jersey. The New York State Health Department says two new Omicron subvariants that appear even more transmissible than the highly contagious BA2 are driving an uptick in COVID cases in the state. The department estimates that they have 23% to 27% growth advantage over the BA2 variant that was itself more infectious than the original Omicron variant. An Ohio man who acknowledges he joined the mob at the U.S. Capitol last year and ignored a variety of warning signs says he was only following orders from the president, Donald Trump. The man, 38-year-old Dustin Byron Thompson, testified during his trial in federal court in Washington. Thompson's defense team is the first to argue that Trump and others were responsible for the mob's actions. Traffic between Mexico and the U.S. has been snarled since Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered commercial trucks undergo extra inspections is part of the Republican governor's fight with the Biden administration over immigration.
Texas law enforcement is apprehending illegal immigrants that got away from the Border Patrol, including previously convicted murderers, previously convicted child rapists, kidnappers, drug traffickers, MS-13 gang members, and cartel gang members.
Governor Abbott says the standoff has stoked warnings by trade groups and experts that U.S. grocery shoppers could soon notice shortages on shelves and higher prices. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, Yankees beaten by the Blue Jays, more specifically beaten by one Blue Jay.
Mighty Bats leading off this eight. Jonathan Loaisiga's first pitch is slammed out to deep left field. That ball is gone! Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with a three-homer game! Tonight he does it in the Bronx.
Jays Radio, the call. He also had a three-home run game last season. Two of the home runs plus a double came against Gerrit Cole. Most of it all came after Guerrero cut his hand on a play in the field. Toronto won 6-4. It's early in the season, but a couple of Yankee concerns. Too much reliance on the home run. They hit three. Anthony Rizzo, Aaron Judge, and Gleyber Torres, but they scored only one other run. Also, Kyle Higashioka promoted to starting catcher. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa brought in to be the new shortstop. Together, they are a combined 2-for-35. Series ends tonight. Mets are off. They have their home opener tomorrow. It'll include the unveiling of the Tom Seaver statue. It'll all happen on the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson's debut in Brooklyn. The Mets had a 5-2 road trip. They won at Philadelphia 9-6. Pete Alonso followed up his grand slam the other day with a 3-run homer, 5 RBIs. Max Scherzer is now 2-0. Also in Philly, Rangers won 4-0, 28 saves for Alex Georgiev. Capo Caco scored the first two goals. NBA play-in, two more wins by the home teams. Atlanta by 29, ending Charlotte's season. New Orleans took out San Antonio. So tomorrow, Hawks visit Cleveland, Pelicans at the Clippers, and the winners advance. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 1 point. Dow futures up 53. NASDAQ futures are higher by 18 points. Looking at the 10-year, it is down 1/32nd with the yield 2.70%. The yield on the 2-year right now, 2.34%. And NYMEX crude is down 1.25%, down $1.30 to $102.95 a barrel. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Anshin Accountants and Advisors. Challenging times call for proactive advisors who help minimize taxes, increase cash flow, and create opportunities for the future of your business. Visit Anshin.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow, and we do have headlines crossing the Bloomberg now involving Twitter. Elon Musk offering to buy Twitter for $54.20 a share in cash. This is according to a regulatory filing. In a letter to the chairman of the board, Musk saying, quote, Twitter has extraordinary potential. I will unlock it. Twitter shares are up 13% right now in early trading, and we're going to get full details and perspective on this with Gene Munster of Loop Ventures in just moments from now. We're also watching United Health Group. It raised its forecast for the year as double-digit revenue growth and lower operating costs help the healthcare giant beat analyst estimates. S&P futures, little change this morning. Dow futures up 61 points. NASDAQ futures, little changed. 10-year Treasury down 2/32nd, yield 2.70%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.34%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4%. Again, Twitter shares up more than, 12.5% in early trading right now. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the suspect arrested in the Brooklyn subway shooting left 10 people wounded by gunfire. Also, he left behind a trove of angry YouTube videos. Police were studying them for a possible motive. Frank James vented about racism in America, his struggles with mental illness, New York City's new mayor, and 9/11, among other things. In MLB, the Yankees and Orioles lost. Mets, Nationals, Red Sox, A's, and Giants all won. In the NHL, the Rangers won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak with breaking news in the M&A space. Elon Musk is offering to buy Twitter for $54.20 a share. He didn't announce it on the social media platform. He announced it through an SEC filing. Let's get some initial reaction now. Gene Munster joins us live, the co-founder of Loop Ventures. Just a couple headlines crossing on this announcement, Gene. Elon Musk, the Tesla and SpaceX CEO, says he does not have confidence in Twitter's management. He says Twitter has extraordinary potential. I will unlock it. Your reaction?
Welcome to the world of Elon Musk once again here, unpredictable by design. And I think his approach is to think big. He's doing that here. My reaction is that the premium that he's offering is somewhat modest, 13% premium. This is essentially where the stock spiked to recently. And so I think the this is not a slam dunk that it gets done at this price. And probably safe to say that this is not his final price either. I suspect he's not going to lead with his final price. Again, just a modest premium to where the stock was yesterday versus and essentially where it was at the peak before, when it spiked this week. So look for this to, you know, kind of take on some more contours where he may have to raise his bid. And I think the other piece, too, is it is surprising to me that the piece that he's putting a push or bigger push is not surprising. The one thing that is surprising is that this is a time sink. You know, he's really wants to take all of this on here. And I had previously predicted that he wanted to have a bigger role. He wanted to have an influence even after he stepped off of the board. I thought that he just still wanted to have an influence, but this is a much different contour to it. And that part is a surprise because there's a capacity question there, of course, once you layer in Tesla and SpaceX.
Yeah, we're watching the reaction in the Twitter shares in the pre-market. They had spiked as much as 18% on the news. Right now in early trading, they're up 12%. Of course, Musk on his Twitter feed has thrown a lot of spaghetti on the wall in terms of changes that may be real or imagined that he might like to see, from adding an edit button for tweets to at one point, he floated the idea of turning Twitter's existing headquarters in Silicon Valley into a homeless shelter. What kind of changes do you think concretely an Elon Musk majority stakeholder Twitter would look like?
I think there are two essential pieces to it. First is that I think he's going to make it so it's harder for Twitter to manage the content on the platform. This is something that is very important to him. This is why we are here in the first place. It is his view that Twitter has been punitive to some people and in terms of kind of monitoring what they're saying. And so I think that that's the first and most obvious change that would happen. That would definitely happen. I think there's a second question about monetization. And the growth rate in Twitter has been relatively modest over the past few years. It really hasn't grown to this at the same pace of other social platforms, obviously like TikTok or Snapchat. And I think that there's a question when he talks about unlocking the value that there could be a monetization question. There's an obvious one where this has historically not been done in social, but just given Elon Musk's first principles approach to everything he does. And first principles means just because it hasn't been done before doesn't mean you shouldn't try something in the future. And there's a first principles approach that he could take with just essentially just charging people to be on Twitter. You know, would you pay a month to be a dollar per month, for example, to be on Twitter? My guess is a lot of people would, and really kind of stress test the monetization side of it. And so that's probably where the biggest value could be created. If it is, in fact, the town square that he describes it as, and he's able to actually monetize users for it, I could see it happen.
About 30 seconds left here, Gene. Obviously, Elon Musk can afford to buy out Twitter. Do you think he could see some competition from other potential hostile takeover candidates?
I think less likely that that happens because it's been depressed before, and I don't think there was people circling. I think you're going to see other M&A activity more broadly with this pullback, with a lot of these, you know, a lot of tech stocks are down 30, 40, 50, 60%. Twitter's down a lot, but I don't think it falls in that same category of where it's easy pickings for a bidding war.
Thanks for this, Gene. Great to have you on with us as we just got this news breaking minutes ago. Elon Musk making what he calls his best and final offer to buy Twitter, saying it has extraordinary potential and he will unlock it, offering $54.20 a share for the social network. Twitter in the pre-market up nearly 11.5% on the news. Stay with us for more. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, showers and storms this afternoon with a high near 80 degrees. Sunshine returns tomorrow, upper 60s. We'll stay in the upper 60s Saturday with a few more showers possible. Right now, 59 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by IBKR. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest-cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interests at IBKR.com/RIA. Up first, breaking news involving Twitter and Elon Musk. The Tesla CEO is launching a hostile takeover of the social media company. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with this developing story. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. The world's richest man is offering about $43 billion for Twitter. Elon Musk calls it his best and final offer, and it represents an 18% premium to Twitter's closing price yesterday and is 37% above the price before Musk disclosed a stake in the company. The Tesla CEO announced the offer of $54.20 a share in a filing with the SEC. He says Twitter has extraordinary potential, and he will unlock it. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. We're watching shares of Twitter in early trading. Right now, they are up about 11%. Let's shift to a developing story out of New York City now, where police arrested suspected subway shooter Frank James. Mayor Eric Adams released a statement following the arrest.
My fellow New Yorkers, we got it.
Mayor Adams isolating after a positive COVID test. City Police Commissioner Keyshawn Sewell also addressed the arrest.
We used every resource at our disposal to gather and process significant evidence that directly links Mr. James to the shooting. We were able to shrink his world quickly. There was nowhere left for him to run.
Police Commissioner Sewell says the NYPD worked with many law enforcement partners to make the arrest.
Meantime, in Washington, Nathan, the focus remains on Ukraine. U.S. President Biden announced $800 million in additional U.S. military aid for Ukraine. While Europe continues to provide cash for weapons, it comes as Russia warns of deploying nuclear weapons in and around the Baltic seas. That's if Finland and Sweden join NATO. The countries say they're stepping up considering of doing so. As fighting continues, Russia's repositioning forces for renewed attacks in the eastern and southern parts of Ukraine.
On Wall Street, Karen, four big banks release earnings today. Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo all report following yesterday's mixed report from J.P. Morgan.
And futures this morning, they're little changed, and the 10-year Treasury is up 1/32nd, yield 2.69%. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. 6:33 on Wall Street, 59 degrees in Central Park. Let's get more details now on the Brooklyn subway suspect. Michael Barr is back with us. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The suspect arrested in the Brooklyn subway shooting that left 10 people wounded by gunfire also left behind a trove of angry YouTube videos. Police were studying them for a possible motive. Frank James seemed to vent about nearly everything in his videos: racism in America, his struggles with mental illness, New York City's new mayor, 9/11, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and black women. In one, he said, this nation was born in violence, it's kept alive by violence or the threat thereof, and it's going to die a violent death. NYPD Chief of Detectives James Essex says the suspect has been arrested 9 times in New York and has other arrests.
He has 3 arrests in New Jersey, 1991, 1992, and 2007. They are for trespass, larceny, and disorderly conduct.
Chief Essex says the gun allegedly used by James was purchased in Ohio in 2011. Two new Omicron subvariants that appear even more transmissible than the highly contagious BA2 are driving an uptick in COVID cases in New York. According to the state's health department, it is the first reported instance of significant community spread due to the two subvariants in the U.S. Texas Governor Greg Abbott continues to defy pressure from those opposed to his new border policy. The extra inspections of commercial trucks coming from Mexico is snarling traffic and leading to warnings that U.S. consumers could face food shortages. Still, Abbott says it's worth it.
Texas is apprehending people crossing our border illegally from countries like China, Iran, Russia, Iraq, and more than 150 additional countries from across the globe.
Republican Governor Abbott said he would not repeal his new policy at all bridges until there are more assurances of security. After a two-year hiatus because of COVID, the New York Auto Show returns to Manhattan's Javits Center, opens to the public tomorrow. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Nathan, Aaron Boone asked to sum up the hitting exploits of Toronto slugger Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He called it otherworldly. What a night for Guerrero. Home run to straightaway center field in the first inning. Two-run shot in the third. A double in the sixth. All that off Garrett Cole. And then a 443-foot home run off Jonathan Loaisiga leading off the eighth. The second three-home run game of Guerrero's career. Toronto won 6-4. Yankees in defeat hit three solo shots. Anthony Rizzo and Aaron Judge went back-to-back. Series in the homestand ending tonight. Mets are off. They finished a strong 5-2 road trip with a 9-6 win at Philadelphia, a game where they held on after leading 8-1. Home opener tomorrow versus Arizona. They will unveil the Tom Seaver statue. Clayton Kershaw missed much of last season due to injury, made his first start of this season in Minnesota, hurled 7 perfect innings, 13 strikeouts, only 80 pitches. They took him out. 6 outs from the 25th perfect game in baseball history, and the Twins broke up the perfect game and no-hitter in the 8th inning. Rangers won 4-0 at Philadelphia, the shutout for Alex Georgiev. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
All right, John, thank you. We're at 6:36 on Wall Street. Now want to get more on the breaking news involving Twitter. Elon Musk offering what he says is his best and final offer to buy out Twitter in a hostile takeover bid, offering $54.20 per share. Dan Ives is with us this morning, analyst at Wedbush Securities, who follows Twitter and Tesla, not to mention, very closely. Dan, good morning. Your reaction to what we've heard so far from Elon Musk on Twitter?
Yeah, look, this is a Game of Thrones. And obviously, once the situation happened with Twitter and the board, you know, and Musk not joining, you know, this became a hostile bid situation. And look, it was a view that he would increase his stake. He was going to step it up. He basically went all in, $54. Look, at this premium, I mean, it's going to put the back against the wall. I mean, I think at this point, it looks like Musk is likely going to own Twitter.
Do you think he sticks with that premium?
Look, and the thing is, the premium is at a point where I just do not see any other bidders. And I think Twitter board never in a million years thought that they'd be in a situation where Musk actually buys the whole company himself. In the filing, that Musk basically was like, okay, this is the final offer, or I could potentially leave the story and sell my shares. So there's going to be significant shareholder pressure on Twitter from a fiduciary perspective. And, you know, It really just speaks to Musk didn't view this as kind of playing around in terms of Twitter as a platform, and this would be the really third pillar, you know, along with Tesla and SpaceX in terms of his, you know, ecosystem and obviously just vast ownership.
You've called this the Game of Thrones. You mentioned that earlier. How do you think Twitter's management reacts to this hostile takeover potential bid?
They'll put out the standard letter that they'll look at the bid, in which they have to do, and then likely they'll probably do an active process, see if there's any other bidders. I mean, look, they'll go around the world looking for any other bidders besides Musk. But if you look at this premium and what he's going to pay, and obviously being the richest person in the world, and he could do it himself, I mean, I think this is just a matter of time till Musk owns Twitter.
In the letter, he said that Twitter will neither survive nor serve its societal imperative in its current form. He says he does not have confidence in Twitter's management and thinks he can't change the public, or he doesn't think he can change the company in the public market. In our last minute here, Dan, what kind of changes, if this bid does go through and Elon Musk becomes majority stakeholder, what kind of changes do you think he will actually make at Twitter?
Well, look, the real changes are the monetization, the advertising, the subscriber growth of the platform. I mean, that's why we're even in this situation, as Twitter has fallen back in terms of a social media platform relative to Instagram, TikTok, and others. Now, look, in terms of the freedom of speech and other, like, that gets into a tight wire act, right? Because that, you know, is going to be something that investors want to know how he ultimately strategically is going to change Twitter. And right now, to be honest, there's more questions than answers. But all investors are focused on are four numbers, 542, 5420
yeah.
for a stock that was in the threes.
Yeah, and right now in the pre-market, Twitter's trading at 5170. That's a surge of 12.7% from yesterday's close. Dan Ives, Wedbush Securities, as always, great to get your thoughts as we continue tracking the breaking news. Elon Musk with a hostile takeover bid for Twitter. As Dan mentioned, $54.20 a share. Elon Musk says that's his final offer. Stay with us. Much more to come as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, showers and storms this afternoon with a high near 80 degrees. Sunny tomorrow, upper 60s, and we'll stay in the upper 60s Saturday with a few more showers possible. Right now, mostly cloudy, 59 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Hey, good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com. And we are getting news. As we said, we've been following Elon Musk, who has made a best and final offer to buy Twitter, saying the company has extraordinary potential and he will unlock it. He is offering $54.20 a share in cash. And we spoke to Dan Ives about this deal.
They'll put out the standard letter that they'll look at the bid, in which they have to do. And then likely they'll probably do an active process, see if there's any other bidders. I mean, look, they'll go around the world looking for any other bidders besides Musk. But if you look at this premium and what he's going to pay, and obviously being the richest person in the world, he could do it himself. I mean, I think this is just a matter of time till Musk owns Twitter.
And that's Dan Ives of Wedbush Securities. Twitter shares up 11.5% this morning. Also, we have some headlines crossing the Bloomberg earnings from Wells Fargo. First quarter revenue missing analyst estimates. And let's go to the first word breaking news desk now for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are somewhat quiet despite that Elon Musk news. Dow futures up 51 points. S&Ps are down 3. Well, NASDAQ futures drop by 10. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.7%. Gold is down 8. Oil trading lower. And Bitcoin is down by 0.4%. Japan rose 1.2% overnight, while European markets are posting modest gains this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front, 80/30 retail sales and initial jobs claims at 10 o'clock, business inventories and Michigan sentiment. Regarding earnings this morning, look for Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley to report also in the pre-market. In other news, Google, Facebook price targets were cut, with MKM cautious on online ads. Wrapping things up, Delta Airlines was raised to overweight over at Barclays. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the suspect in Tuesday's shooting at a Brooklyn subway station is expected to appear before a judge later this morning. Frank James was arrested a day after he allegedly opened fire inside a subway car, injuring at least 23 people. In MLB, the Yankees and Orioles lost. The Mets, Nationals, Red Sox, Athletics, and Giants won. In the NHL, the Rangers won. one. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include President Biden announcing new heavy weapons heading to Ukraine as the country faces new offensives from Russia. Treasury Secretary Yellen warning China of potential fallout over its ties to Moscow, and the White House blasting Texas as inspections snarl traffic from Mexico. Let's get more now live from the International Monetary Fund headquarters, where we find Bloomberg Washington correspondent Anne-Marie Hordern this morning. Anne-Marie, before we get to some of those stories, I wonder if we've gotten any White House reaction at this point to the arrest in the Brooklyn subway shooting.
Not quite yet, but what we did hear from the president over the course of the week and White House officials is that they've been working in lockstep with the local officials on the ground in New York, as well, of course, the FBI as well is involved. But the president's going to be traveling today. He'll be out and about the country. He's going to North Carolina, and I imagine we will get some reaction from the president. This is something the press is certainly going to ask him.
Yeah, certainly. Well, we have heard from the president so far, as I mentioned, is this announcement of, what, $800 million in new military aid to Ukraine on top of the billions that have already been promised in the war. What kind of firepower are we talking about here, Anne-Marie?
So this will include artillery, helicopters, ammunition, unmanned surface vessels of coastal defense, Humvees, switchblade drones, and also, and I think this really shows where the United States is potentially concerned about where the conflict might lead next. They're sending individual chemical biological protective suits and detective systems for these types of chemical warfare. So it's really a huge package, and it's going through presidential authority. So it's a quick drawdown of U.S. stocks and supplies to Ukraine. And some of these weapons, as you can tell in the name, they signal really a more significant military commitment, but also the military equipment in the beginning was very defensive. You do see this moving to a little bit more offensive.
Our last minute here, Anne-Marie, we've heard some pretty strong words from Treasury Secretary Yellen ahead of the meeting of global financial chiefs in Washington next week.
Yes, she blasted China for practices that, quote, unfairly damage the national security interests of others. And she really talked about, even though she said she didn't want the evolution of a, quote, bipolar global system, she really talked about the fact that China needs to recognize that if it wants the international community to abide by their sovereignty, they also need to do the same. So really a stark warning coming from the Treasury Secretary, specifically aimed at China, I would say.
All right. Thanks, as always, for joining us. Bloomberg Washington correspondent Anne-Marie Hordern with us from the IMF this morning. Read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. We're coming up to 6:53 on Wall Street, and we are getting earnings this morning crossing the Bloomberg Terminal from Wells Fargo as the parade of big Wall Street bank earnings continues. Let's go live to Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Financial Analyst Allison Williams for more details on some of these headlines that we are seeing from Wells Fargo this morning, not the least of which, Allison, first quarter revenue coming in shy of analyst estimates.
It did, and I haven't, I'm still going through the release, so I'm not sure exactly where the shortfall was. I would say that the couple of things that I focused on so far, actually, it looks like the net interest income is a little light, so that's a negative because that's obviously one of the things that analysts are looking for increasingly to help the company. But the two things that I'm focusing on are where we got the shortfalls yesterday with JP Morgan, and that's the provision and the capital ratio. On the provision side for Wells, it looks like they had a net reserve release. So that's, we'll want to hear more about that. But one thing I would point out is that Wells Fargo was much still much more reserved versus the other banks coming into this quarter. So while J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Citigroup had taken their reserves sort of back to levels at the start of the pandemic, Wells still had a pretty big buffer. A lot of that really relates to their commercial real estate exposure, and that might be why they are still letting a little bit of reserves go versus kind of going the other way, which is what we saw at J.P. Morgan. The capital ratio, though, does look light, coming in at about 10.5%. And so for the banks, short-term rates higher, that's a great thing. Long-term rates higher, they have to mark down the value of securities, and that sort of runs through their capital ratio. And we knew that was something that banks was going to we're going to take a hit on this quarter, but it does look like that might be coming in a little bit worse than expected. It's a, it's an accounting thing. It does reverse over time, but it can lead to lower repurchases in the near term, and that's the negative.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Allison. We've gotten some commentary from the CEO of Wells Fargo saying the war in Ukraine adds additional risk to the downside. What could that tell us as far as the other banks reporting later on this morning?
It's something we're watching across all the banks. That is the reason why, or one of the reasons why, we saw the bigger reserve at J.P. Morgan. Wells Fargo, as you know, is much more domestically focused. So what they're referring to, I think, are really the knock-on effects. So again, their reserve looks like they had a release. We'll want to hear a little bit more about what are the economic scenarios that they're factoring in? How is this impacting their underwriting and their loan growth?
Thanks for this. Allison Williams of Bloomberg Intelligence, as we continue watching Wells Fargo earnings headlines cross the Bloomberg terminal. In the pre-market, Wells Fargo shares now, Karen, are down 3.5%.
All right, Nathan, thank you. Well, it's 6:56 on Wall Street, and we turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and a top 10 for best career placement among public schools by the Princeton Review. More at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. In China, President Xi Jinping says his government will stick to its zero-tolerance approach to the coronavirus. That's despite public anger and mounting economic costs. She spoke the same day that Shanghai reported a record of almost 28,000 new cases. The city's 25 million residents have been locked down for several weeks. The lockdowns in China are having an impact here. Shoppers will face longer wait times to buy Apple's MacBook Pro laptops. U.S. consumers trying to order the latest high-end models are now seeing delivery estimates pushed into June. A number of companies that assemble MacBooks in China have halted production because of the lockdowns. And Toyota is recalling about 460,000 vehicles in the U.S. to fix a software problem that can inadvertently disable the electronic stability control system. The automaker says that when the vehicles are restarted, the software in rare cases may not automatically switch the system into the on mode, and that can disable the system. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. We continue to watch shares of Twitter this morning up more than 11% after Elon Musk made a best and final offer to buy the company. And straight ahead, it is Bloomberg Surveillance. Tom Keene and Lisa Abramowitz at the IMF this morning. For Nathan Hanker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.